Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes.
Well, welcome to today's program, everybody. On the telephone today, we have Pete Fland. Pete is president of the French Broad Vignerons, located here in western North Carolina. Pete, tell the folks that are listening on the radio, what is FBV and what do you do for the organization?
Well, I'm president of the French Broad Vignerons, and we're an organization that exists to increase people's understanding of wine and also to promote the wines of western North Carolina. It really is a double-sided organization, but we do a lot to really help establish people's understanding of the quality of the wines of Western North Carolina. For example, every year we operate the Asheville Wine and Food Festival Wine Competition. We do this by training our own judges in-house. We judge our wines under very strict conditions, and the important thing about this competition is that the wines that achieve gold or double gold status are wines that we're going to use to demonstrate to whoever wants to listen or whoever wants to read that the quality of Western North Carolina wines are as good as anywhere that you're going to find. We're not telling you they're the greatest wines in the entire world. I mean, no one can make that claim, but we are in a position to say we can compare our wines, and our wines are doing very well when we're in comparison. So that's kind of what we do. We run the basic competition that sets up who will enter what we call the benchmark. Then we benchmark our wines. So let me talk for a couple seconds about recent developments here. We have been promoting our wines in the region for a period of time. But within the past year, all of a sudden, the Travel Channel named Asheville, which is kind of the hub of the region, as the number one new wine city in the United States. There are close to 90 wineries that surround Asheville. And evidently, everyone has had a part to play in this designation. We've had many reputable writers now come to us looking to do informational pieces, articles about Western North Carolina wine or a winery in particular or a class of wine. And that is happening now. And what that is really doing between that and our press releases and the information that we send out is really starting to establish the reputation of the region. Many of our wineries individually enter wine competitions around the country. They do very well. They come back with a lot of recognition, which helps establish the winery itself. We've had in the past 3 years, one of our wineries designated North Carolina Winery of the Year, and that was in consecutive years. That was Burnchert Winery in Hendersonville. And one of our winemakers was named North Carolina Winemaker of the Year, and that's J.W. Ray up at Jolo. These things are starting to happen. But we come to a point where we have to ask ourselves, when we start saying the stuff is good, people are going to ask, you think it's good, but how do we know that it really is? What can you compare this to? What is a way that we can understand? And that's a really compelling question, because when you can cause people to recognize that we can compare well with international and domestic wine, and can give them hard data to back that up, that says a lot about why you should start considering adding our wines either to your table, to your party, to your cellar. A lot of our wineries are selling across the country on an organization called Vino Shipper. I think people in at least 38 states are now able to buy at least 8 of our own Western North Carolina wineries, and I think 25 in total North Carolina wines through Vino Shipper. It's very simple. You go to vinoshipper.com, you click on the Origins page, and then you have a selection of 25 wineries to scroll through and get a sense of. If you don't want to do that, you can visit our website, FrenchBroadVignerons.org. And at the bottom of the page, there are direct links to the member wineries of our organization. And once you're on that page, you can take a look at the various wines they have, and if they interest you at all or their story interests you, you can click right through to the individual winery website. And if you want to try and order some wine, they will be more than happy to do that for you. So that's two ways that we're starting to get the wine out amongst the nation, not just locally here in Western North Carolina or within the state or, you know, the bordering areas. Going back to that question, we said, what do we do to help people understand the quality of the tier? And so as an organization, we have identified the benchmark. And the benchmark is an activity or process that we have now done twice. And what happens basically is this. Our head judge identifies four wines from the pool of gold medal and double gold medal medalists for a year in question. Right now we're using the results of the 2017 National Wine and Food Festival Wine Competition. Last year we used the 2016 results. And we take those four wines, and we have someone who helps identify wines that we can compare to. And the general rule of thumb that we try to use is that we will take one of our wines. Let me give you a direct example. Addison Farms here in Leicester last year had a double gold medal Cabernet Franc. And what we did was we wound up comparing Addison Farms double gold wine, which was called Structure, with a North Coast California wine that had 91 points in the Wine Spectator, and a Loire Valley wine from France that also had 87 points in the Wine Spectator. Not quite 90 points, but close enough. Results were kind of interesting. Well, how do we get results? We have a team of seven judges. Five of them are American Wine Society certified judges. And we have two sommeliers. And we bring them together, and each wine is tasted in a flight. So in the case of the Addison Farms Cab Franc, the flight consisted of Addison Farms Structure, 2013 Lang & Reed, North Coast, California, and 2013 Domaine Bernard Beaudry, Chinon, Loire Valley, France. They taste each wine individually, and then after they have rendered their scores, and for scoring we use the American Wine Society judging sheet, which judges the wines on what is typically done. It's where they look for appearance, aroma, taste, overall, and then finish. And each one is scored separately. That leads to a total for that judge. And then we take those seven judges' scores, add them together, strike an average, and that is the score for that flight of wines. Well, when Addison Farms was judged against the North Coast California wine and the French wine, the results were rather interesting. The judges did not know who had what. This is a blind tasting. All the judges knew was that this was a Cab Franc. Addison Farms' average score is 15.93. The North Coast California wine was 13.93, and the French wine was 12.71. Now, what we hope for in this event is to demonstrate that our wines are comparable. It is not necessary for our wines to show that they're better than somebody else, although that happens to occur in this flight. But if the wine range of the judges, if the scores of the judges are relatively tight, such as, let's say, 15, 14.5, and 14, that gives you a band saying, this is a fairly comparable group of wines. And in this case, since we exceeded the band and with the 15.93, Addison Farms did real well, and we had two strong competitors with it. That kind of is the process. And we do that, so far we've done that with eight different flights, and the results have been more than generally favorable, that Western North Carolina wines are comparable to international and domestic wines.
What you've done is really do a blind tasting of these three wines, one international, one domestic, plus the local, and the judges have said they're comparable.
Yeah.
Not that one is better than the other, but we are as good as those areas. Making wine from grapes grown in this region of the state of North Carolina is as good as you'll find in those areas with those known wines.
We are really in good situations here. This region, even though it's mountainous, and there are tons of mountain areas all over the world that produce a lot of wine, we have some of the oldest terroir in the world, the Appalachians. Depending on who you talk to, it's X amount of million years old. I mean, the soil is interesting. There are a lot of different mineral components depending on each particular region. The climate here is very conducive to grape growing. And if the winemakers and the vineyard managers are very scrupulous about what they do, they're harvesting some wonderful grapes from which to make their wine. Most of our winemakers will tell you, the grapes are what speaks. You harvest good grapes, you should get a good result. It's possible to harvest less than good grapes and you mix it and do other things with it. But we run pretty pure wines out here. We allow the grapes to speak, put them in the bottle, let them age, and people can enjoy them.
Well, I know it's a truity worldwide that you have to have good dirt. Without good dirt, you can't grow good grapes. And without good grapes, you can't make good wine. Nobody can take crappy grapes and make good wine.
No.
Just can't be done.
One of the problems for our winery owners is to very carefully identify which grapes work well for them. I mean, it's possible without any problem for winemaker X or winery X, which is located in the northern western corner of the state, to produce, let's say, a Riesling or a Cab or something. And a winery in along the southern border of the state, along right where North Carolina, South Carolina is, which is down closer to 1,000 feet, may produce the same grapes, but the wines will be very different because the terroir is different.
Well, it's absolutely true that terroir makes a major factor in the taste of the grapes and certainly the quality of the wine. We really appreciate you taking time today to be with us, Pete, and explain these things to us. Hang on, folks. We'll be right back.
Today's program is being brought to you by Beulah's Bumbleberry Pie. Beulah has revived an old country favorite from her grandma and made it into a delicious product. Sales of her bumbleberry pie helps her small farmstead's income. She collects a bit of sang every year along with some bloodroot and golden seal and makes a number of home remedies, including black salve. But when she found some of her grandma's bumbleberry seeds in the old root cellar, she hit upon the idea of making her favorite childhood dessert for sale. Beulah carefully plants the bumbleberry seeds along the rain gutters, which are full of composted sycamore leaves and windblown dirt from the mountains. Then she fertilizes them with her secret blend of herbs and raccoon droppings from behind the outhouse. When the bumbleberries are ripe, she harvests them by swishing an old leaf rake along the gutters. The berries fall into her apron, which saves them from being bruised. She carefully washes them in spring water, soaks them overnight in a mixture of sorghum, molasses, and moonshine, and then bakes them into a yummy pie. Finally, Beulah carefully wraps each pie with old-fashioned wax paper dusted with white mushroom powder to keep the pie fresh and preserved. Your mouth will go wild when you taste it. Beulah's Bumbleberry Pie is another specialty product made in the good old USA here in Madison County, North Carolina. You can buy Beulah's Bumbleberry Pie today at Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall, for only $1.298. And now back to our regular program.
Welcome back, everybody. On the telephone today, we are talking with Pete Fland. Pete is president of the French Broad Vignerons, a trade association for the winemakers and grape growers in Western North Carolina. He's been sharing with us some interesting information about how North Carolina wines compare to gee, other areas of the United States and other wines from international locations. So, Pete, tell us some more about this benchmark.
Let's talk a little bit about another wine in this program. And this is a wine that you do not find in a lot of places. It's a very nice white wine called Grüner Veltliner. Grüner Veltliner is a grape that is grown primarily in the Austrian, Hungarian, Czechoslovakian type of area in that part of Europe. And we have an outstanding grower of Grüner right here in Henderson County, and that's Burnt Shirt. So we compared Burnt Shirt with a Washington Grüner from W.T. Wintner's Underwood Mountain Vineyard, which is located in Columbia Gorge. 89 points is what they have been judged at. And a Tegern Zierhoff T26 Grüner Veltliner Federspiel from Washau, Austria. And the results were really pretty interesting. Since the Austrian winemakers, this is almost one of their bread and butter wines, it would not be surprising that they came in with the highest score, which they did at 17.14. But Burnt Shirt came in at 16.64. It's almost a half a point difference in the score, which is pretty close.
It is close.
The Washington wine came in at 15 points. So very clearly, Burnt Shirt produced a product that competes well with the native Grüner, which in this case happens to be from Austria. So that really helped us make this case. Now, one wine that I kind of like, or grape that I like, is Albarino. And we had a wine that is not from the Western North Carolina region, but because it was one of our gold medalists, we selected it to be entered into this group. Sanctuary Wines has a wine called Pearl. It's Albarino. They're located in Jarvisburg, North Carolina. We paired that with a 2015 Hendry Albarino from the Hendry Vineyard in Napa, California, which is 91 points. And we also compared it with Lacana Albarino Rio Viejas from Spain, which was 91 points. And the results, somewhat typical. The Spanish wine came in at 16.86. The Sanctuary Pearl came in at 16.07, and the Napa wine came in at 15.29. So not only was the band relatively close, but Sanctuary was smack dab in the middle. One of the interesting ones, because we have only started this relatively, you know, within the past, our first one was in February, was we selected some wines from the 2016 results. And one of the wines that we selected was the Biltmore Estate Wine Company Cabernet Sauvignon. It's actually the Biltmore Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon. So I went out to try and pick up a couple bottles of it, you know, because we really don't, we buy the wines. No one gives us the wines to be tasted. We identify which ones we want to do. We buy them. We arrange for the transportation. The maker of the wine has nothing to do with the benchmark at all. One of our vineyards cannot call in and say, hey, we'd like to be in the next benchmark. We have a process, and that process identifies the wines that we want to enter that we think are very representative of the region. Well, when I went to Biltmore, they didn't have any left. So I then started trekking through the various wine shops in Asheville and finally found one bottle. And then I called in a chip, and there were several bottles left in the back room and in the Biltmore winery. I was able to buy one of those or acquire one of those. Well, the results were interesting. We compared the Biltmore Reserve Cabernet Sauvignon with a 2012 Sailor's Grave red wine. It's 90% cab, 10% zin, which rated out at 92 points. And we also compared it with La Madrid Cabernet Sauvignon Single Vineyard Reserva from Mendoza, Argentina, 2013. That also is 90% cab, 5% Merlot, 5% cab franc. And the results were really interesting. Biltmore had 17.4 points. The Argentinian wine had 17.2, and the Napa Valley wine had 16.5. So actually, there were less than 0.9 of a point between Biltmore and the Napa Valley wine, which is exactly what we want to show. These are comparable wines. Now, I will say this to anybody. The wine that you like to drink is the wine you enjoy. If your taste buds say, I enjoy this, you're not going to say, you know, I'm not asking you to say, well, you got to like the Biltmore wine because it scored higher. Each wine has its own complexity. Each one has its own characteristics. But I am saying you're going to have a comparable taste or a comparable quality. And if you enjoy the wine, great. You know, that's what we want. We want people to come in, taste the wine, enjoy the wine, and hopefully buy some and take it home. The fact that local organizations are taking an interest in our wines and helping us promote our wines says a lot about how the region is starting to feel about our wines as well.
Well, certainly you've given us a lot of information to think about. Pete, I want to ask just a couple basic questions for people who may not have tuned into some of the earlier programs about the French Broad Vignerons. For example, tell the folks out there how you go about joining the organization.
The organization is open to individuals. It's also open on a commercial side to wineries. Most people who I think will listen to this are probably individuals. And you can join our organization, and I suggest you just go to our website, French Broad Vignerons, VIGNERONS.org, and prowl around, see what we have done. Look at the PR that's there. I mean, we're working very hard to expand the base of activities for people who would like to join our group. And we also would point out that individual members can go through a judge's training process that could very well result in them being selected to judge at the Asheville event. We are extremely scrupulous about the benchmark judges, not to say that the Asheville, that we aren't scrupulous about the wine competition judges, but it gives you a start or a way to get yourself established in judging wine if that is an interest. If an interest is just exploring wine, you are welcome to join the organization for that purpose. We usually have an activity at least every quarter. People are free to come and enjoy that activity. Annual membership is $25 for an individual, and actually, if there are two adults in the household, those two adults are members of the organization. On the commercial side, if the commercial winery wants to join us for purposes of having assistance in promoting their wines, having informational dialogues with other wineries, attending workshops and so forth, there is a way that they can go to our website as well and join the organization as a winery.
Okay, well, folks, you've heard it directly from the president of the organization about how to join the organization, how to become a wine judge. And speaking of wine judges, Pete, tell us just for a few minutes, how do you actually train the wine judges?
Our process is very much built along the lines of the American Wine Society training program. All our wine judges who are ones that we have developed have gone through a 9 to 10 hour training program that occurs over the space of 3 months, usually February, March, April. Could be February, March, May, but usually in the spring of the year. Our head judge, who is recognized nationally as a serious, serious wine judge, and who judges all over the country, does our training along with a couple of the other members. And you go through that process. Process takes you through ways to look at wine, helps you learn about faults in wine, differences in wine. They take you through the entire judging process as to what you look for. They help you learn as to what are the characteristics in a specific type of wine, what are the characteristics for a Riesling. We give them information for all the various wines, and if we know, for example, that a new wine is coming to the competition, and we had a new wine this year. Piccione entered a wine, it's Nero. Let's just call the grape Nero. That's also the name of the wine, is Nero. But when we became aware of that wine coming in, we then put together a package for our judges so that they would know what they were looking for when they were tasting that wine. And you would know what it is because we'd tell you what the grape is. I mean, every judge knows what the grape is that is involved in the wine that they're tasting. So the judging process is a 10-hour process at least. If you have been trained by us before, you go through a 3-hour retraining or revisiting before each competition that you judge for us. So that is how we try and stay in a position where we can say we have quality judges because we train them ourselves. No one is walking in here and saying, I've judged here, here, and here. If you want to judge with us, you're going to go through our training program. And people pay for the training. I mean, it's we're not in a position to offer it. I mean, without charge. And the reason for that is there are a lot of materials that we consume when we train judges. We go through a lot of bottles of wine to do that. And
well, it sounds like quite a process, Pete, and you folks have worked out a really good system for getting some quality judges trained here in Western North Carolina. And certainly the benchmark is a great way to show the world, if not even the local folks, that we make some pretty doggone good wines out here in the western part of the state. We really appreciate you taking time today to be with us, Pete, and explain these things to us.
Well, I really appreciate it. I hope I have piqued people's interests about Western North Carolina wines. And if you're in the region, by all means, come and visit our wineries. You can use our downloadable passport, which is found on our website, FrenchBroadVineyards.org, as a way to guide yourself through the member wineries. And come out and taste it. And enjoy it.
Folks, we'll call that a wrap for today's program.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!